Stephen Colbert shared a story of being disinvited from the Cool Kids party that was former President Barack Obama's 60th birthday on Martha Vineyards last week. Colbert said, "Here's the thing. A hot ticket it was what it is. But given the whole pandemic thing and the Delta variant, a celebrity mosh pit was probably not the wisest choice, so Obama decided to scale back the guest list for the party." Colbert said there were reports claiming that fellow late-night hosts Conan O'Brien and David Letterman had been axed from the guest list, but that he made the cut, and Colbert said, "Yeah, it makes sense. I am known to fill in when Letterman drops out of something." Colbert said he had planned to attend the party, but in the massive scaling back, "I got massively scaled. By the way, Mr. Former President, my own 60th birthday is coming up in 3 years, and you, sir, are not going to want to miss it. Please come. I'd be so honored if you came. I'll scale back to make room for you and Michelle, obviously." From The Independent, Bill Bellamy has shared his regret over not trademarking the phrase booty call. The comedian joked it could have made him wealthy enough for a spaceship. He was on People Magazine's People in the 90s podcast. Boy, that must make you feel good. "Hey, can we talk to you about the thing you did 30 years ago?" He was asked by the co-host whether he ever considered trademarking the term booty call. Bellamy admitted that at the time, he hadn't been thinking about it in terms of anything other than the joke, nor did he realize booty call would become so popular. "I was just thinking of my joke. I didn't realize the phrase would catch on and become, like what you said, a normal word that people know it is now. Booty call was just a clever way to say you're trying to get a girl to come by. Who knew everybody's going to lock in on it? I probably right now would be on a spaceship if I trademarked it. When I started doing the joke in the clubs, people started smiling because they were like, that's what it is." But according to Bellamy, the creation of dating apps means the term doesn't have the same meaning as it did in the past, with a comedian noting, "Now they got Tinder, they're cheating, but back in the day, you really had to make the phone call. We had to get the number. Now you just see a picture and you swipe." The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines booty call as, quote, "communication, such as a phone call or text message, by which a person arranges a sexual encounter with someone." Bellamy said, "You don't know that you could do something that'll stick. It's like Prince's Purple Rain. It's one of the biggest songs he ever wrote. You don't know which one people are going to rally around. You're just an artist and you create, and then you let the wave go where the wave goes." Bill Burr was on Your Mom's House podcast, and he talked about how he got The Mandalorian. He was at a birthday party and ran into Jon Favreau, who runs, you know, Star Wars Mandalorian. John was there and he said, "Hey, we're writing this thing and we kind of have you in mind. You want to do it?" And Bill Burr was like, "I don't know, John. I tease Star Wars people a lot." And he goes, "Yeah, I know. I listen to the podcast. It'd be funny if you got in on it." From Dayton 24/7, your home for comedy news, Yellow Springs local radio station WYSO has been an important part of the community since 1958. But there are fears from Yellow Springs radio lovers that WYSO may have to take up space outside the village in the future. But good news. Renovation of an old building is underway. I'm going somewhere with this. Max Chrome from Chrome Architecture will be the architect in charge of the new project. Chrome will use his knowledge of the area and a vast portfolio of experience to make a historic former school building into a more modern site while still preserving the bones and overall integrity of the structure. I'm going somewhere with this. Chrome, you know, from Chrome Architecture, is partnering with famous comedian and Yellow Springs resident Dave Chappelle. Oh, now we get it, Johnny Mac. He's partnering with Dave Chappelle on the project, drawing support from Table Holdings, a local company owned by Dave Chappelle. The station manager said, "We started pricing a facility in Yellow Springs, but it could be up to $7 or $8 million. When Dave Chappelle heard this, he reached out and said, "Would you like me to renovate this beautiful and historic building so now you can move in and start leasing it at an affordable rate?" And we said yes. I haven't talked about George Lopez in a while, and I'm not going to talk about tacos, no. MASH asked George Lopez, "What's your favorite role been so far?" George Lopez said, "In doing stand-up and knowing the comedians could, if they were lucky enough to ever have their own show, I saw a bunch of guys get TV shows where I never thought I'd get mine. I was at the Comedy Store on a Monday in the 80s when Roseanne was there, and she was going to be on Carson on Wednesday. I saw Tim Allen before Home Improvement, and he was incredible. In Home Improvement, you saw what people saw in his act. Same thing with Drew Carey. So I would have never thought I would have anything that would have had a value in my life, but not only to get a show, but to sustain a show. And the first show premiered in 2002. It hasn't been off the air since 2002. Now he's doing a show with his daughter Mayan, who was 5 when the show started. She's now 25, and we sold an idea to NBC about a father-daughter relationship. That would have to be it." So that was a long-winded answer. The original question, George Lopez, what's your favorite role so far? George Lopez's answer, to summarize, the new show coming up on NBC that doesn't exist yet. Okay. Hey, new episode of the weekly comedy thing on the Live by Live app. That is the weekly show I host on the free Live by Live app. Download it, Look around in the comedy section. You'll find the weekly comedy thing. What's that? It's a weekly show where I take some news stories and then I play the comedians mentioned in it. So here I can't play any bits because, you know, copyrights and royalties and all that. But over there I can. So say I told you a story about George Lopez. What I would do is after the story, I would play George Lopez. See how that works? But a lot less me, a lot more comedians. Like, I don't go off on, you know, George Lopez tacos for 20 minutes at a time on that show. I'd talk for like 30 seconds and then play the bit. The Guardian asked, is cancel culture destroying comedy? A lot of comedians seem to think so. John Cleese has fretted that wokeness will stifle creativity. Chris Rock attributed all the unfunny TV shows he sees to the fact that everybody's scared to make a move. Shappy Corsande wrote, the fear of being canceled is real and will be the death of stand-up comedy as we know it. When Dawn French was asked on Times Radio if she felt cancel culture was imaginatively restrictive, she said 100% yes, before expressing concern about how a comic couldn't do edgy material these days because you just have so many haters on your back. We know about Ricky Gervais talking about The Office. Jennifer Saunders talked about Absolutely Fabulous wouldn't be made today in Britain's woke culture. Guardian writes, it's starting to sound like a chorus. And the idea that so-called cancel culture is killing comedy is in danger of becoming received wisdom. Actual examples of it happening, however, are thin on the ground. Stand-up comedian Robin Ince recently said, apparently comedians are scared to say anything for the fear of cancellation. I don't know who these comedians are. I don't know what they're too scared to say. The Guardian writes, in the vast majority of cases, people who make jokes that are considered offensive in the broadest possible terms face zero repercussions. They tend to thrive. Jimmy Carr was still making jokes about dwarfism, lesbians, and gypsies in his 2019 tour show. How has society punished him? By giving him a series of increasingly prominent TV gigs. Dave Chappelle faced criticism for material about trans people, Chinese people, and child abuse in his 2019 show Sticks and Stones. Was he shunned? No, he was awarded the Grammy for Best Comedy Album, which was really a Netflix special, and they printed like 846 copies on vinyl and sold them in like a store in Portland and made it qualify technically as a comedy album, but we all know a Netflix special when we see one. Did Bill Burr face disgrace after his SNL monologue, which was deemed misogynistic and homophobic online? No, he's currently working on the fifth series of his Netflix animation F is for Family and has a series of high-profile film roles in the pipeline. Last year, Sarah Silverman claimed she was dropped from a film after an old sketch in which she wore blackface resurfaced online. But that seems an unusual repercussion because Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, and Tina Fey have all apologized for the use of blackface in their work with no impact on their careers. Social media criticism is rarely a tool of oppression, says The Guardian. It's an occupational hazard in many professions, and it doesn't destroy them. The idea that cancel culture is killing comedy is a nonsense slogan. An absurdist joke in itself. That is your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Instagram at Daily Comedy News, Twitter at DCN Pod. And if you enjoy what I do and you'd like to buy me a coffee, go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can throw $5 in the tip jar. I will take your $5 and I will go to National Donuts chain. I will buy a large iced coffee with caramel and milk and I will drink it on the air and shout you out. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Back tomorrow.